and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Transform Cincy is more than a boutique. It's a safe space for trans teens to find a whole new sense of self. Co-founders Tristan Vaught and Nancy Dawson launched the shop in August of 2019, with Dawson's daughter, Ella Dastelung, working as the teen stylist to carefully curate wardrobes. Dawson passed away from breast cancer in April. But I spoke earlier with the co-founders Tristan Vaught and Ella Dastelung, and here's our pre-recorded interview. And joining us now to talk about Transform Cincinnati are two of the co-founders. We have with us Ella Dastelung. She's on the phone with us. Ella, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
And we have Tristan Vaught. They're also on the phone with us. Tristan, thank you for being with us.
Hello, thank you.
I want to talk a little bit in the context of the pandemic, since you are a business and a retail one that brings guests in. Tristan, tell us a little bit about, I know your shop is unique, and we're going to get into some of the aspects of what makes that so, but how has the pandemic impacted the work that you do?
We see some of the most marginalized in our community, trans youth. So we were very worried about having to close down, but we also knew that it was something we had to do. We've been closed since March 13th. So we've actually now probably close to 50 people on a wait list to be seen. We've opened up this past week, but we've done it very, very carefully. We're wearing masks, 6 feet of social distancing, and we're only letting clients bring in 2 individuals from their support system.
While you were closed, how did you react to the needs of the community? As you mentioned, you deal with a marginalized community and one that may be hesitant to deal with this sort of endeavor publicly or with a lot of attention. How did you handle communication with them?
So me personally, early on, I had put out there with many of them, I work with them with their high school GSAs or in other capacities. So touching base with them weekly, either on a personal level or from Transform. And I know we've kept up on our social media as far as throwing out some educational stuff and checking in. And there was always a line, an ability to be able to reach out anytime they needed to. I actually found that a lot of trans students, a lot of trans youth were doing better during the pandemic than not. They were not being bullied or harassed at school. They were able to get up when they wanted to and start their homework and work on schoolwork. So I had a lot of kids who were actually doing better during this time, and it was a great surprise.
Wow, that is really interesting. Ella, let me ask you as well, and you're a co-founder of this, the two of you, along with your mother, Nancy Dawson, founded this. Take us to what you view as the significance of this. I know that it's not even a year old. You've gotten all kinds of fanfare and attention from national media outlets, even all over the local media outlets, including WVXU. Talk a little bit about what that means in terms of why it's necessary.
Yeah, so my mom was really inspired when my younger sister came out about 5 years ago as a transgender girl. You know, one of the first things we did was go shopping. And because my little sister had such a good support network, she was very confident, you know. We went to a department store and she was totally comfortable picking out a skirt and trying stuff on. But for a lot of kids, that is not the case. And they're not, you know, going to feel comfortable going to a large store and trying on clothing in public, especially for kids who just recently came out. When they come into Transform, it is by appointment only. It's completely private. It's a small space where they can go back in a changing room with their friend or their family member and just try out different things. And for a lot of kids who have never tried on a skirt before, never tried on a dress before, it's a really great, safe, and supportive space for them.
Well, tell us a little bit about that experience, as best you can, or as much as you're willing to, what that experience is like for someone who might be trying on that type of clothing for the first time.
Yeah, so one of the first things we did was create an online forum where the child or the kid or the teen would tell us their sizing information, what kind of colors they like to wear, who are your, you know, style icons, a bunch of questions to just kind of gauge what they're looking for. And then we pull a rack together of shirts, pants, accessories, sometimes even wigs, just so they can try out different things and they don't have to look through things like a thrift store experience. So they're personal styled by teen volunteers.
Tristan, I understand that Transform started with a meme. A social media meme?
Yeah, it did. I actually put up a meme on Facebook about how silly gender reveal parties are because you don't know a baby's gender. You know a baby's assigned sex.
and that we should have gender reveal parties for individuals who are coming out as trans and need clothing and need all of these things. And Nancy was the first person to comment. She was like, I've always wanted to do this. And so I commented back right away, well, I've done this before at a couple of universities. We could do this. And then she called me within 15 minutes of that entire comment on FaceTime, showing me the back room of Bridesmaids, the business that she owned, and showing me the basement. And just, we both were kind of like in a manic state. It's almost like it caught on fire really quickly. So it was just a Facebook meme.
And so how does the business form? Do you do this in a traditional manner? Do you get some funding, or did you just jump in and say, this is the business? And, you know, you had the benefit of opening with an existing business. So talk a little bit about that process.
We jumped in. We had many conversations about if we'd sat back and thought of a million things that we had to do to become official as a nonprofit, all the obstacles we may have faced, we might not have done it, but we jumped in. We started collecting donations right away. We had someone go pick up a clothes rack that was sitting on the side of the road in over the Rhine in Cincinnati. And it was amazing. We just started having the community show up for us very, very quickly. And then we were like, we probably need to make this legitimate. We signed up for our nonprofit status and started all that stuff. And we're still run by donation only, which is absolutely amazing. But Ella and I volunteer all of our time.
And we're talking with Ella Dastelung and Tristan Fought, co-founders of Transform. Ella, Nancy Dawson, your mother, left a lasting impact, a legacy in Cincinnati. We lost her this year. Can you just tell us a little bit from your perspective what you see her legacy as in this community?
Yes. Well, Transform was something she wanted to start almost a year before we actually did, maybe 2 years. She actually wanted to start it out of our house originally, which now that we've done it, we know that would have been kind of, intense because there's just so much to do. But she stopped originally doing it when she was first diagnosed with breast cancer in 2018 and then didn't do it until October of 2019. And, when she found out she was terminal in December, it was something that was like, she felt like she had just been really called to start this, and it's just kind of strange how it happened so quickly right before she found out that she was terminal. And so I'm really glad that I've been such a huge part of Transform since the beginning, and I can continue to work on it for her and make it part of her legacy.
Ella, you mentioned that your sister came out as trans and obviously had a very supportive mother. And I'm wondering how frequently you encounter individuals that don't have that comfort, that don't have that supportive parent or family member or any type of social interaction with people who they believe would understand. How often does that happen, and how do you work with individuals who are young and unsure of where else to go?
Yeah, a lot of times the kids do have supportive parents who come in with them, which is really great, but sometimes the kids are brought in by a friend, maybe a cousin or an aunt who is more understanding. And a lot of times these kids and these parents and these family members just really open up to us because they've been waiting to talk to somebody that gets it and knows the community and really understands. So a lot of times they'll open up and they'll say, listen, like, my mom, she just doesn't know how to deal with it. She thinks this is a phase. And so what's really great is that we can connect them with resources and support groups that are designed for parents and Facebook groups where they can get more information and talk to other parents and really learn, like, how they can support their child. So I think that's kind of something that we didn't really expect from the beginning, but it's been really, really important.
I imagine that there must be some parents that naturally want to be supportive but don't necessarily know what that means. So can you talk a little bit about any of those situations where a parent is coming in and saying, of course I love my child, I want to be there for what their needs are, but I don't know what any of this means. How do they learn?
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the things, we've had kids who just get very emotional because their parent is helping them pick out clothes that are, what they've always wanted to wear. And I think a lot of times this is a good bonding experience for them. And then again, just being able to connect them to places like Children's Hospital where they can work through different things and different sides of the transition that aren't necessarily with clothing, with socially transitioning, and then getting resources for school and how to come out through your school and get resources for that. I think that's important too. And just the whole experience can really bring a kid and a parent together, I think.
Tristan, tell us a little bit about the business model, where the products, the clothing come from, and what transaction is needed for one of these people, these young people, to leave with something that they've just fallen in love with?
So we take all donations. We kind of put call outs for certain donations when we know that a profile is coming up. We just did that today. Already had a great response for some of that, those pieces. So, and then like Ella said, there's a profile that when someone comes to our website or our social media, they fill out the profile on what kind of clothing they want, what they don't want. We get some of them who are like, I definitely don't want to wear X, Y, and Z. So we're able to then pull together some of those clothing pieces for them, have a rack set out, and they're allowed to take as much as they would like or as little as they would like. And we've also had it so that they can come back because these styles change. They're just learning who they are and starting this journey. So they're able to kind of pick some of them out and we say, hey, if you need to come back, you can come back. We ask that if they have clothes to donate if they can, but there's no fee associated, no need to donate themselves.
We're talking with Ella Dastelung and Tristan Vaught of Transform. They are two of the co-founders of this organization. I want to talk a little bit about the social justice movement that we are seeing across the country, even here in Cincinnati now. Obviously, mainly motivated right now due to police violence against African Americans, but through the course of these conversations, we're starting to examine a lot of different parts of our culture and the way that we talk about people, the way that we treat people, either incidentally in just casual conversations or interactions, or legally in our culture. And we do hear a lot about trans people. And so I'm wondering what an organization like this might mean to the broader community, not just the individual clients that come in and find this haven and this wonderful experience that they've never had before, but what does it mean to the broader community as for an opportunity to really learn about what it means to be trans and how they could be better neighbors? And I'll throw that at Ella.
I think it's very important that we're intersectional in our support for all people, and especially for Black trans women are at a huge risk of violence. So not only being able to socially, I mean, unfortunately, one of the ways that they can become safer is to be able to pass and be able to access those clothing and resources to feel safer in society and more supported. And I think just also educating people on how to protect other trans people.
And Tristan, let me ask you the same question.
I think it's very important. I know aside from being the co-founder for Transform, I specifically do equity and inclusion trainings within school systems, law offices, medical facilities. So when we're talking about that piece of making sure that intersectionality is always at the forefront, I know with Transform that Ella and I and Nancy were very vocal about Black Lives Matter and social justice and equity. We won't just be for trans white folks or those who have access. We are speaking up and talking out about the violence that we see right now. And some of that is a big piece of education and understanding our own white privilege. I have a lot of privilege in the skin that I'm in right now, even though I'm genderqueer, even though I'm someone who holds, you know, a couple of disabilities. My white skin affords me privileges my Black and brown kin, trans kin don't have. So I think Ella and I right now are being very intentional with the way that we present, Transform, and the things that we speak out about.
Do you find that African-American trans youth are just as eager to come into a place like Transform? Do they have the same kind of opportunity and within their own community to talk about what they're dealing with?
I think that they do. I think it's often a misnomer that there's more homophobia or more transphobia or whatever within the Black community. I don't believe that, and that's not what I've seen. We've had some clients from every walk of life walk through here, and even on our profiles now, we have a few on our wait list. I think that the access piece, making sure that we stay on a bus line and making sure that socioeconomically that we're available to everyone is a huge piece that we need to always consider within this. And how we set up our board of directors and who we're bringing in, we want to make sure that we're always speaking to youth, so there's always going to be youth at the forefront of this, and we're always speaking to that equity and inclusion piece.
Ella, as we mentioned, Transform has received so much media attention, national and local, mm-hmm. which indicates a sort of uniqueness about it, and obviously a need as well. Do you see more of these types of businesses opening up elsewhere? Do you plan to open up more of these elsewhere?
Oh my gosh, I hope so, because we've gotten messages from people all over the country and even in other countries saying that they want to start one where they live. And so one day we really do hope to expand, and we're, you know, we're talking about that even now. I mean, it would be very hard with everything going on right now, but we would love to be in other cities.
Ella Dastelung and Tristan Vaught, thanks to both of you for coming on today and telling us more about Transform. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you. We're grateful for the opportunity.
Up next, we preview The Vote, the latest installment of American Experience on PBS, which profiles the fight for women's suffrage. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.